Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hey there, Fangirl Nation. We have a fantastic Get My Job on Blue Wire, as I am joined by my dear friend and Angel City Football Club head of content, Jennifer Pransky. Jennifer takes us on her career journey from Fox Sports to the 2020 presidential campaign to today. She also talks about why being a woman in sports should be viewed as an advantage, why Angel City FC's greater purpose appealed to her, what she's learned about allowing herself time off, and so much more. This episode is filled with so much great information and so much inspiration. So make sure to subscribe, rate, review, and enjoy. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me. I've been so excited about this. We've been colleagues. We've been friends for a very long time. And I am very excited to talk to you today on Get My Job.
Right back at you. Long time coming for us.
It really is. So let us dive right in, because I know our listeners are going to be very excited to hear about your career and your journey. And so I am going to ask you to start by taking us through your professional journey to this point.
Yeah, I can't decide if it's an interesting one or if it's unique or if it's run of the mill, but it's just the journey I went on. But I studied political communication at school and had no idea what in the world I was going to do with my life until close to graduation, when I realized that I was not ready to get into politics. I think I needed to understand a little bit more about the world, grow a thicker skin, do all of those things, and maybe just have a little bit of fun before I dove into trying to save the world. And I had been a lifelong sports fan and an athlete, and I just honestly decided on a whim, okay, the first thing, I'm just going to try and get a job in sports. So, it's exactly what I don't want most people to do, is I want to encourage people to think about these things a lot sooner than I ever did. But yeah, I mean, it was right around graduation from college, and I said, okay, well, I'm just going to get a job in sports right now, and that'll, we'll see how, for a couple of years, and that'll tide me over and turn me into an adult, possibly, and we'll go from there. So I went back home, and I started what has become now my new mantra of how you get anything done, is that you just tell everybody what you are trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I was at a party for a friend, because his graduation party that someone, people hadn't seen in probably 4 years back home, and just started, as soon as people started chatting with someone, like, yeah, I'm thinking about sports television, or something along those lines. And someone that I talked to that night had a friend who had worked at a small cable access government owned station that had taken him on, with zero experience. And, so I called that station the next day, and I ended up working there for the next year. So
wow.
That's how I got, and did everything, because it was super small. They did two newscasts a week that were both taped, but they let me do everything from be in front of the camera. I hosted a show. I was a sports reporter. I did, editing. I ran teleprompter. I ran cameras. I technical directed a show. I mean, I was able to really, on a small scale, do a little bit of everything. And then I realized that I liked it. And particularly, I liked the stuff behind the camera more than in front of the camera for a couple of reasons. One, I really didn't like worrying about what my hair looked like all the time. And having to spend time on that, because when you're in front of the camera, you worry about stuff like that. And I actually had this really strange thought in my head of how 10 years from now, if I have to think about what my hair looks like every single day, I'm not going to turn into the good, I'm not going to become a better person. I'm going to become a person that might fall into some bad traps of, self-worth and other issues like that. The other reason I decided to stay behind the camera was just because I saw that that's where the creative control was, for the most part, that you got to create a little bit more and that at the highest levels, the higher up you go, the more work kind of gets done in that aspect of creating things from behind the scenes. So, and that's the stuff that I liked. So I moved, I realized that small station was I'd done everything I could do there and I loved it. And decided to then try a bigger pond and moved out to Los Angeles. I had family here at the time, so I was able to have a place to stay in, which was very fortunate. And chose LA, because Fox Sports was here. And so I just didn't want to move out east and say, okay, I want to move to LA with the goal of ideally working at Fox Sports, because they were the only network, like big network at the time, that was out in LA. And did the same thing where everyone I met and talked to and chatted with, I told them what I was trying to do. And eventually I met someone, or a friend of mine knew someone who knew someone whose boyfriend worked at Fox and got all of those people to know me and decide that I was good enough to pass along to the next person. And then eventually got to that one person at Fox, and he passed my name along to another person who was, ended up hiring me one day a week to answer the phones and make photocopies on Saturdays for the baseball show. And that's how I got started.
Yes, I was like, I know it doesn't end there. I know there's more.
Yeah. I ended up getting to do a little more than photocopies and answer the phones. Yeah. So, and then, from there, like one of the best things about Fox Sports is that they really, promote from within, and they do like to hire people at that early entry level stage and grow them from within for the most part, not every single time, but I was able to do that and rose to the ranks. You kind of end up choosing a couple different paths on the production side, whether you're going to go into the live event side or on the studio side. And because storytelling and creating and that kind of thing was more up my alley, than I got more excitement from that than from chasing, like the excitement of that a live broadcast brings. My route went through the studio, rose through the ranks there, becoming a, full production assistant, broadcast associate producer, feature producer, and then eventually senior coordinating producer, where I was tasked with doing a lot of the video and storytelling content around the bigger events that they would do, whether it's, with my last several years being really focused on the three World Cups that Fox has done so far, two women's and one men's World Cup, and creating all the video content for that. And then, what I thought I was just going to do for a couple years lasted 19 years. Because it went so well and I wasn't anticipating enjoying it so much, I really did. But I always sort of thought, I remember reading something when I was in high school or even younger, about how the average person has five different careers in their life. Mm-hmm. And I really always, my whole life had sort of been along those lines, where my family moved a lot. So I never stayed in one place for very long. And so the idea of what's next, or what can I do, what new challenge is out there, was always something on my mind. So even though I did end up staying at Fox for so long, I still knew it was just going to be this one chapter. And I just got to the point where I realized that, I'd reached the end of the time that I wanted to spend there, and I loved it and it was beautiful, but it was time for it to end. And so I left in the fall of 2019 with the goal of getting back to sort of what I had initially done back in my school days of getting involved in politics and public service. And so that was ended up being a crazy year, where I ended up working on the presidential election process. And then, I don't know. That was awesome.
Well, I'm going to stop you for a second, because I want to talk a little bit more about your time at Fox, because I think one of the things we really like to highlight on the podcast is how many different opportunities there are for women in sports. And I think we see sideline reporters, and sideline reporting is an incredible career, but there are so many different things that people can do. So I kind of want to go back a little bit to the time at Fox, because like you said, you were first hired to do photocopying and get coffee, and obviously it changed dramatically as time went on, and you did get to work at those World Cups, and you spent time on baseball and football and everything. It was an incredible journey. So I want to talk a little bit about, while you were there and you started creating video content and storytelling, at what point did you realize, I'm really good at this? And kind of where was the point where you were like, I really enjoy this?
Good questions. And anybody who ever says that always means they're just buying time to think of their answer.
Those are the best questions I've ever heard in my life. And let me get back to you.
That's a good question. And the answer is formulating in my head in 3, 2, 1. No. So I would say, you know, I don't really know. There's points at which, you know, I definitely realized it for the first time, but I think it's one of those where, well, I did enjoy it for a really long time, but I just never looked, you know, picked my head up to realize it. And, you know, cause I think otherwise I wouldn't have done it for so long. And I was really lucky that I worked with great people and especially up front where, you know, I was given so much opportunity, and without that, without being able to kind of get the opportunity to take that next step or try that next big thing, you know, I might not have enjoyed it as much, but I felt like I was always being challenged. And I remember there was one day where, I don't know what I was frustrated about it, but it was like probably even midway through my career. And I think I just didn't understand why I had chosen the path I had chosen. Mm-hmm. And, David Hill, you know, who's kind of the godfather of Fox Sports and so many other things in sports television. I must've said that to him. Cause I think he always says it like, Jen, you wear your heart on your sleeve every day. Like people, it's you, people know what mood you're in at any given time. And, and I think it was just not in the best mood or I was a little down or something. And so he'd ask, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I just don't like, I don't know what I'm doing and he's, or why I'm doing this. And he's like, I know why. and his answer was spot on. He basically told me, he says, because, and it's what I sort of alluded to earlier is that he says, you like to be the one to create, you know, when you're working in live events, there's a huge rush from things happening in front of you and you having to react and adapt and chase. He's like, but you don't want to be chasing that stuff. He's like, you want to be creating it. And, mm-hmm. And that's sort of, you know, that was very enlightening to me. And I have absolutely no idea at what point during my career, he and I had that conversation, but I feel like it was far too late for, I probably should have realized a lot of that earlier. And as far as knowing when I was good at it, I don't really know that either. Cause I think I'm a bit of a workaholic, which I don't think most people who know me would dispute at all. And they might call it an understatement even, but you know, I just really loved working. And mm-hmm. So I didn't lift my head up enough, I think early on to think about like, was this really good or not? Cause the interesting thing about what you mentioned about all the different jobs, like the job that kind of, you know, if you're out front, like a silent reporter host or something like that, you're getting the feedback, right, from mm-hmm. the people who see your product. Mm-hmm. When you're creating something from behind the scenes, I don't get fan mail. We don't do credits, and I like all of that. Like I don't need my name up on a screen for the people who see it to know that I did it. You know, I just mm-hmm. like the satisfaction of knowing that I did it and I liked it. But mm-hmm. I'm never really getting like hearing the feedback on whether or not the audience liked it or not. You know, so. I think I was just, when I got to a point that I was making stuff that I really liked, and then mm-hmm. maybe later on, I figured out that what I liked was good because, you know, you get promoted or you get put on bigger projects. And I think that's how you realize those kinds of things. And it was just, thank God it was like slow for me and, you know, that my ego didn't blow up, you know, too badly at any point. But I think I just started making stuff that I liked and I'm mm-hmm. glad that other people did too.
Was there a project that you were put on where one day you were like, oh, okay, I'm doing something right here?
Probably. well, I think it's when you get those first opportunities, you know, the first sort of, you know, feature. And, you know, when we talk about that in terms of, you know, I think they use that word differently in all sorts of areas. But for us, it's really just sort of short form storytelling that would go into a studio show or a pregame show. You know, when I got my first chance to do my own feature, I was excited that it was one that was very not run of the mill and mm-hmm. got to go take the host of our show, James Brown, and take him into a classroom full of high school kids and talk about, you know, a controversial topic that was going on in the NFL at the time. And so I think the trust that I felt a lot of trust with that because mm-hmm. You know, anybody can go do the run of the mill thing where you go and you sit down with a player and you ask the questions and you leave, you know what I mean? That's not, there's care and things that you can do in there. And that's important and you can screw that up, but I feel like it's harder to screw that up. But what they tasked me with was something where, you know, with a lot of kind of unknown elements, and to be able to do that in my first time out, I felt the trust. And from there, I think that's when you realize, okay, I must be doing something right.
What was the topic?
So if I remember correctly, it's when Terrell Owens had pulled out the Sharpie in his touchdown set as a 49er, I believe. And you know, there were fines, and that's when all of a sudden this whole thing about touchdown celebrations became an issue. And so we went to go talk to some teenagers playing, you know, and see what they actually thought, you know, what does the younger generation think about this? And not just about whether or not they should be able to celebrate, but whether or not the NFL should be able to sanction it or, you know, have a say about it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's very interesting, especially considering this year and the taunting rules and all of that. So that is very interesting. All right, I want to switch topics for a little bit. We definitely will come back to all of this. You mentioned that, of course, in 2020, you went to work on the presidential campaign, and now you are at Angel City creating content. You're, of course, the head of content. So if you can talk a little bit about making that journey, like from the sports journey to the political journey and now back to sports, and what surprised you about your time in politics?
Yeah, it was great. I would say, you know, it's almost Fox's fault that I left, because that's what I told them. I said, it's your guys' fault, because they by the time I left, I was, you know, I was one of the go-to people for anything we did that involved the military or government, you know, in appreciating and celebrating, you know, our armed services. Also handled most of our public service announcements for Fox Sports Supports, the charitable branch of the company. And anytime those types of things came up where it wasn't just about the game, you know, I feel like that's the kind of stuff that I got to work on. And because of that, you know, I got to understand what that feels like, where you feel like you're doing some sort of public service or you're feeling like you're giving back. And I just decided that I needed that feeling every day. You know, that I, as much as I know it's important to go, you know, they're, you know, trying to go interview Dak Prescott this week for next week's game. Like, and I know that in the sports world, we need that and we want that, but like, I just wasn't interested in doing that anymore. And to have time, you know, where I wasn't working on something that felt like was a true public service or giving back in some way, I just needed to do that every day. So that's kind of what I was in search of and what I've been in search of. And that's, you know, what led me to leave and get it. And just due to the timing of when I left, which was the end of 2019, when the election was kind of really like swinging into full gear, it just made sense to start to try to, you know, work on the election process, because that's just what was dominating the political world at the time. And was happy, just for the audience to know, was happy to have been working on the winning side, just for the record.
Well, fair enough. I think we all like that. Absolutely fair enough.
And really, really enjoyed that. I mean, that whole year was a different podcast unto itself. But what happened during that time was I got a call from people at Angel City, because I know a lot of people who were involved with the team and had heard about it and was so excited about everything they were doing. And you know, when they asked if I would, you know, join them and help them out, at first in my head I thought, I can't. I've left sports. I've got to do this. You know, I've got to, you know, keep on this other route that I'm on right now. But as I talked to people in the team, and it was something sort of became very clear that this team had a greater purpose and a greater mission. And the first thing that everyone really mm-hmm. talked about was that the purpose that, you know, this team is here to build something for the people of Los Angeles. It's about finding a way to give back to them, give back to the community, highlight the community, and be leaders, not just for women's sports, but for sports in general, and show how, you know, nonprofits don't have the market cornered on making a difference, that for profit, you know, and people who are, you know, making money can just as much, if not even more sometimes, you know, give back and make a difference in the community and even outside of your local community. And, you know, it's almost like people forgot to mention, yes, we're going to play soccer and win championships and do all that wonderful stuff, which obviously is the main crux of what the team does, is going to be play soccer. But everything gets to be through that lens of What can we mm-hmm. do to be, you know, having that higher purpose? And so I realized that it was, this opportunity was unique, and it was merging my recent past of having 20 years in sports television and what I had left to do, which was, you know, have that feeling of making a difference every day. And what also just a unique opportunity to start something from the ground up and build something that, you know, how often do people get to say that they helped start a sports franchise? So it was all those things that brought me into this role, and I'm really grateful for it. And I can't say enough about how it's just so fascinating every day that we're, you know, moving forward, but also struggling with how do we keep holding ourselves to these ideals that we've set forward of, you know, set forth to, mm-hmm. to do better, be better, and create better, you know, opportunities and worlds for people. So through women's soccer, you know, it's very fascinating, and I'm thankful for it.
So I was going to ask you what you have found to be the most challenging part of your transition into this new role. You may have just answered it, but I'm going to ask you anyway, in case you want to expound upon it, or if there's something else you want to tell us about.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just, there's just so much to do. I hardly ever know what day of the week it is. I mean, that was sort of the same way at Fox, but at least, like, the thing is that we don't have games yet. We're not, this team, Angel City doesn't play its first game until April of 2022. And, you know, when I was working at Fox, at least I always knew when my next, like, on-air day was. Because if it was NFL, obviously it's Sunday. And if it was baseball, it was Saturday or whatever it is. But until we have games, I seriously don't even know what day of the week it is. If it weren't for my vitamins, my, like, you know, that I have separated by in the day of the week, you know, containers, I seriously every morning would have no idea. But that's the brilliance of it, is that, you know, to get a little, I'm sure Spider-Man, like, it isn't a spider, I didn't originate with Spider-Man, but the whole idea of, like, with great power comes great responsibility, you know, that's mm-hmm. like what the beauty of this is. We're trying to create change. There's huge responsibility with that. So it feels like, you know, there's so much weight on the stuff that we do, and in that it's a privilege to have our community, like, hold us to account for those things. Cause we're going to mess up. We have messed up. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think, well, everyone knows that.
If humans are in charge, it's going to happen. And that's not a bad thing.
Exactly. But what you need are great people that believe in you to, like, let you know when you've done that small, like, you know, made some steps to the side. And so, you know, but there's just a weight to that, like a mental and emotional weight that comes with that too. So, like, I would just say that the amount of actual work there is to be done in building something from scratch is tremendous. And then you add on top of it that you're trying to be these pillars for change. You know, it's just a lot. I mean, we're just trying to do so much. I think it's like, you know how the worst thing to do is go to the grocery store when you're hungry?
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
That is us, because we just want to do so much, but it takes time to do those things. But you just have that, like, strange impatience, you know, because you just, like, don't realize that you're pulling too much off the shelf that maybe you can't eat in time. I mean, that's us. Yeah. It's probably not the best analogy, but it's the one that came into mind, is like, you don't go to the grocery store hungry, and that's us every single day.
I actually was going to say, I think it's a perfect analogy, and it makes a lot of sense. So I appreciate that one. That's a good, and I think it's one that everyone can relate to, because we have all gone to the grocery store hungry and bought things we later regret. What thus far has been the most rewarding part of your job? And again, you have, you know, somewhat answered it, because I know the work that you're doing to make change, but has there been anything specific yet?
Yeah. I mean, if we get off of the part where we get to, you know, do good things for people, if we put that all to the side, because that is obviously the best part, I would say one of the first things I started on after I joined here was helping to develop our crest and our colors, you know, the logo and the emblems and things that we're going to represent this team. Mm-hmm. And let me be clear, I am not a graphic designer. I am more of, like, in that sense, like, but I would say I shepherded that process. And, you know, we ended up working with some amazing designers but to be able to say that I had a hand in creating the, you know, the marks and logos and crests, you know, of this professional sports team that hopefully it's someday, you know, you think about it, you don't think much about the fact that when you're in Japan or in, you know, South Africa or Germany, and you see someone wearing a Lakers hat, or you see someone wearing, you know, Cowboys gear, you don't think too much about that. But like the day that I get that I'm overseas wandering and I see somebody wearing a hat or a shirt with Angel City on it, I'm going to be like, holy cow, I had a hand in that hat, you know, and what's
that's
on that.
Amazing.
And so that's been one of the coolest things, you know, is I think that doesn't have to do with, you know, saving lives or whatever it is that we're and all the other stuff we're trying to do.
I think that's incredibly cool, because to be a part of that creativity. And like you said, when you see it, even when you see it in LA or if you see it wherever you may be, to kind of always know you were a part of that is something special and concrete that you can point to.
Yeah. Yeah. And we, you know, we try to infuse so much meaning into it as well. You know, the final designer we worked with did such a great job about, you know, making sure that like there's point when you break down our crest, which the players on the jersey is what the players wear over their heart. So that like means something, right? But that mm-hmm. like the design points of it actually mean something, and you can point to, you can find our mission and our purpose within the logo, or you can just think that it's cool, you know? And so mm-hmm. any which way you see it or think of it, it's just a win.
Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. And I love it because Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources that were once reserved for big businesses. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I don't talk about it a ton, but I have a fishing company. 5 years ago this month, my best friend Aaron and I started a bass fishing weight company called Woo Tungsten, because woo is the sound you make when you catch a giant bass. So we sell tungsten weights for bass fishing, and Shopify has made it so incredibly easy. They have all the tools and the resources that we need. No matter how big or small your business is, they just make it so effortless. And like mine, Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale. And you can reach customers online and across social networks with their ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. And you can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond, which is something we use a ton. More than just a store, Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/bluewire, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business today with Shopify. Go to shopify.com/bluewire right now. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. shopify.com/bluewire.
Switching gears a little bit, going back early on in your career, and it actually could have been more recently, but I ask everybody this because I think it's an important question and the answers are varied and interesting. So I'm going to now ask you, that's my lead up to the question. But is there a criticism that you received early on that was difficult to take, but really in a positive way shaped who you are today? And that could even mean you got a criticism that was so ridiculous and unfounded and you learned not to take criticism too personally, depending on who it came from, or it could be something specific.
Yeah, I think cut that out. I want to say, and I can't remember how early it came, but it's really the advice and the criticisms that I got, I think, throughout my career was just don't work so much, which also I feel like I don't want to be telling people, but you know, I remember at some point, and I think it was David Hill that said, at some point you have to realize that email can wait till tomorrow and that everything will be okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be times it's about really figuring out priorities and understanding, you know, if you want to work, if you're so excited about a project and just can't, and are working through the night and that makes you happy, that's amazing. Do that every single time. But don't give yourself undue stress about the things that can be done tomorrow, or that you could, you know, it's just not worth all of that extra, you know, emotional stress that we put on ourselves. And even recently, I, you know, if you think about like the regrets that you have in your life, there are a few with some very close friends, big moments in their lives, like two, you know, specifically like two friends' weddings that I missed because of work, and I probably didn't have to, you know, and, you know, I wish I could go. I mean, and who knows what would have happened if I had taken, you know, if I had taken that time off to do those things. But all I know is that today I wish I had gone to those weddings. And I know myself enough that like, no matter what, I would have worked my tail off to, you know, I'm always going to work my butt off to make everything exactly perfect or not, well, nothing's perfect, but do everything to the best of my abilities, and no one's going to outwork me in my mind. But making sure I don't, you know, criticize myself for that, you know, or I don't create more stress around that. It's like, do all the work, do all the work that's going to make you happy because you're completing the job. But don't do it because you feel this pressure of, oh my God, I have to, like I said, respond to that email right now, kind of a thing. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does.
My version of it was the version I needed to hear of don't work so much.
But I think that makes sense. And I think probably in today's world, that's the version we probably all need to hear, because there's always one more email, one more message, one more text, one more thing we can do. And there does come a point where we have to say it can wait and it's okay. Yeah.
And I will say that I really do not like the phrase work-life balance. And I feel like that this is kind of what I'm talking about, but I just don't, the reason I don't like that phrase or don't like talking about it is because it's such an individual thing. And I think everyone just needs to figure that out for themselves, and like what's going to make them happy, and just not make themselves feel stressed or guilty about how much they do or don't want to work.
Well, it's something we talk about a lot about is this idea of work-life balance, and that it is unrealistic, and that balance isn't going to be a daily thing or even a weekly thing, but at different points in your life, it's what you give priority to, and that it's an overall balance. So I think that's sort of what you're talking about as well.
Yeah. And it's possibly, and it's a career balance, you know, you might have to just kill yourself for the first 5 years, and that's just the way that's going to go. And you're going to realize that the further you get in your career, you know, you'll have the opportunity to ease up off the gas. And it seems weird that the higher up you get and the more money you get paid, that the less work you might have to do. But that's kind of just the way it is. Because you, when you're starting, you just have to put in that time, because that's where you have to learn how to be the person that can, you know, work a little bit less and get more out of you, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Is there a misstep that you are seeing women make as they're trying to break into the sports industry?
Yeah. I think that women don't realize that being a woman is an advantage. I think that's the most common misstep, and they treat it like they think that being a woman is a disadvantage, when in my opinion, it's an absolute advantage. You know, and I suppose we probably need examples to back that up.
I obviously don't disagree with you. I think it's a tremendous advantage, but I do think, yes, it would be helpful for the listeners if you had an example.
Yeah, I don't want to like just dangle that random thought out there. Yeah, well, here's the thing. I feel like at this moment, you know, yeah, the sad state of affairs is that there are more men in sports, more men involved in sports than women. But that means that when you're in a room, everyone's like, oh, I was the only woman in the room. I'm like, hell yeah, you're the only one in a room. You stand out, you know, Bobby, Tom, and Joe are, you know, not going to stand out with what they say as much as you are. It's not going to be as memorable. Now, it's up to you to say something good, but whatever it is that you do in that room is going to be more memorable automatically. And I think that, you know, especially right now, because there is a focus more than ever about trying to level that playing field and bring a little bit more equity to the workplace as far as women in sports, take advantage of that, man. You know, because here's the thing. You're just as good as probably everybody else, right? Anybody else who's like wanting that job. So, you know, don't for a second think that you are at any disadvantage. Take advantage of it no matter what. The other thing I would say is, especially working in the field of sports that is on the team side that's male dominated, is I found that there's just more that I could say to an athlete or a coach that would not come off the same as if a man said it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're looking at you as a, you know, sister, mother, whatever it is, you know, like the women that are in their life. And you can say some stuff that is maybe a little bit harsher or make those requests, and they're not going to get mad at you for it, you know, the way that my male counterparts would. You know, if I'm with an athlete and I ask them to read a line and it's not good, it's probably easier for them to hear from me, can we do that? You know, that wasn't great. Can we do this? Can we do it again? As opposed to a guy who they feel a little bit more of that competitiveness with, right? Mm-hmm. So you take advantage of the fact that, you know, the words coming, like the direction of the words coming from you, men see differently than they do from other men. And it's not as a competitive thing. So they're more willing to take it in.
I like that. That's very interesting. And I think also very true. Very, very true. But that was a great example. So great job, Jen. Good job.
There's also the thing of like, they might be trying to impress you. So they, you know what I mean? Like there's, that helps sometimes too. And you have to walk that line very, very carefully. But, you know, I think that the essence of it is still the same, is that they aren't thinking of you in a competitive nature as they are with a man that's trying to do your same job.
That makes sense. I like that. And I think I really like the idea of, instead of looking at it as being a disadvantage, that it is a tremendous advantage for the reasons you said and for so many more. So thank you for sharing that with us. Yeah. If you could give our listeners a piece of advice for starting a career in sports, what would it be?
It's sort of two things that you have to do at the same time, right? Okay. So the two things that you always need to do is you need to do the work. Yes. You need to do the work, and you need to do a good job, and you need to kind of shut up about it, right? You need to do what you're asked. You need to, and do it better as to the best of your abilities, and just blow everyone else away. And find new ways to, you know, bring a lot to the table, right? So you need to do that work. At the same time, actually, maybe not at the same time, maybe just a little bit after you've proved yourself with the work, you need to then be, you need to be a human. You need to be a person, right? You can't just put your head down and work, right? Because here's the thing, and this is the reality of life, and no matter what industry you're in, if you've got two people that are both really good at their jobs, right? And there's one promotion, the person that people know more is the one who's going to get the promotion. So mm-hmm. you need to, you know, be someone who knows people and who people know. You know, you got to be careful with it, because you don't want to, you can't be, you know, it's a fine line to walk, because you don't want to be obnoxious. You don't want to be loud. You don't want to be seen as someone who's too social and not working hard. But it's about really figuring out about taking opportunities to talk to as many people as you can in a professional way. I always say, like, whoever you're in, you know, if you're production assistant and you end up in an elevator with an executive, introduce yourself. It's, who cares if it's only 10 seconds? Just, hey, I'm Jen. I just started working here. I'm a production assistant working on NASCAR. I really love it. Just wanted to say hi and glad to be here. And that could be it. And maybe they don't say another word to you, but now their name, you got to think about it as like brand recognition, right? You've said your name. They kind of commend you for maybe that little bit of like boldness. It makes them feel good that they are creating a workplace that you want to be in, right? And now your face and your name are just that one tiny step more recognizable. You do have to think about it as like building a brand, but build it slowly, cultivate it very carefully. And at the end of it, you have to have it backed up with amazing work that you're doing.
How have you seen opportunities change and grow for women in sports since you started, and where can we still improve?
Yeah, I mean, there has been great change. There has been great growth. Yeah, absolutely. There's room for improvement. Yeah. But, you know, before we get too much into this, I would like to say that I've had a great career, and I've never personally felt discriminated against or held back because I was a woman. Mm-hmm. And I realize that is not the case for everyone, but I do think it's important to note that not every woman has a hard time with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I attribute that to, part of that is to the fact that I've worked with good people and good men. And another part of that is also that I think I did a good job of presenting myself as someone who couldn't be messed with in that way. And I know that, you know, not everyone is going to come in with that same set of privilege or confidence that I had. And I understand that, But so it is my job to help like lift those up who haven't had as smooth the ride. And unfortunately that is a lot of women. But I do think it's important to recognize that not for everyone, the change in the growth hasn't needed to be there as much for every single woman. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I would say, I mean, this podcast is the perfect example of how things are improving and the changes in the growth that needs to be made. Because as you talk about, you know, this is about getting to know all the jobs that are available in sports so mm-hmm. that people can then go out and train towards those jobs, aspire to those jobs, learn about those jobs, et cetera. Because that's the huge part of the problem. Women don't know early enough or think early enough about those possibilities. They are behind when it comes to starting a career in sports in some senses. And, you know, during my time at Fox, I saw that the women succeeded and advanced faster than the men did. There just were fewer of them, right? So, you know, I know that when women get in the game and get in the door, they're going to be fine because they always tend to kill it, right? We're just awesome that way.
Right.
But it's that first step that they're not taking early enough or thinking about earlier enough, you know, or in the right or taking the right step, you know, that's holding them back. And so I think that, you know, just to butter you up, like what you're doing with this podcast is the perfect way that we can improve. And it's showing it's the opportunities change and grow because we show the opportunities to people.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And that was why we wanted to do this and why I wanted to start this podcast was so people can understand. And I've said this before on the pod, like I had a sports psychologist on, we've had attorneys for teams on, and they're just positions people don't necessarily think about in sports. So thank you for saying that because it's really important to me. So I appreciate that. All right. This is a fun one. Before we get to five fun facts, this is one of my favorite parts of the podcast is, can you take us through a day in the life of Jennifer Pransky?
I mean, poop. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants my life right now.
I think it's interesting. And I think the other reason I do like to do this, and it's funny, if I'm dealing with, or if we're talking to like a sports journalist, I say, give us a weekday and give us like a game day, because I do want people to understand also it is great to love sports. And I know we kind of touched on this in the beginning and want a career in sports, but it is a job and it is a career and you have to work really hard. And I do want people to understand what goes into what people do on a daily basis, whether it's creating video content, whether it's reporting on a game, whether, you know, it is being an attorney. So I do like to hear it. And I think our listeners do find it interesting because it kind of breaks down what all goes into having this type of career.
No, it's true. It is very, very important. I'm just thinking, I just think nobody should want my life at the moment. But here, I'll make you a deal. All right. So at the moment, I said we're not playing a game until April of 2022. So I don't know what a game day is like for us yet.
Yes,
so
no.
How about we will
just
do
like a regular, whatever day you want to pick, you know, that kind of what you're doing right now.
Yeah, but we'll maybe circle back and you can do like an insert to another podcast someday about, hey, Pransky finally like knows what a game day is. Here's what that's like. But at the moment, I kind of say every day feels like I'm getting dropped into a hole that I'm digging myself out of, and that tomorrow I make it out and that's awesome. But then tomorrow I get dropped in a completely new hole and I have to figure out basically how to climb out of that one. But I would say on the average, you know, my day starts in bed. Sadly with my phone, where I'm just checking like emails and Slack messages, just to kind of make sure I didn't miss anything. We have a lot of people in different time zones that are working with us right now. So I just kind of like to at least make sure there's no immediate thing that I have to jump on right away. I also, if I can, I take that time to read a little bit about some sports and entertainment industry news. I think it's important to kind of stay up on that kind of thing. And then I do try to take a little bit of time to look at, you know, the world news and the domestic news, like, you know, news as well about what's going on with people in our country, etc. So I do take some time to do that if I can. Then there's probably a debate in my head about whether or not I have the energy to work out or the time to work out before my first meetings. I'm not going to give you the percentage about how that works out.
Wait, this is not a judgmental place. This is a safe place.
Well, it's a personal judgment. It's a personal judgment I make every morning. But I at least have the conversation with myself. And then it's literally, you know, once you're out of bed and showered and all that kind of stuff, it's a launch into right now a crazy amount of meetings. I'm currently interviewing for some positions. So I'm doing interviews with people that we hopefully will bring on board our team. That takes a lot of time. Sometimes we're doing, you know, we do have some video and content shoots that we're doing that I, you know, do go out and direct and participate in. Our team does a lot of events as well. So possibly, you know, like this weekend, we're going to do a garden build at a school, which I'm very excited to do and get dirty. So, you know, that could kind of fill up the day. And then, you know, there's usually at least 10 minutes where I'm figuring out how I'm going to take over the world. But, you know, sometimes that time gets shortened. So yeah, right now it's just, there's so much planning and doing meetings, and like some of it is, I do a lot of approvals of things. So like I have an amazing team that creates content and does our, and you know, manages our social media. So I'm approving copy and video and graphics. And so I do feel like a lot of my time is reviewing things and giving notes or telling them how great they are. And all that. I'd say like in the evenings, I'm trying to get more social time and things, even if it is just sort of like a happy hour call or let's watch, you know, 30 minutes of this game while on the phone together kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. With friends or at dinners, things like that. But usually at some point before I go to bed, I am using that quiet time when meetings aren't happening to answer emails and do some of the other work. I call it like, I never have time to work because I'm just, we're constantly in meetings and other things like that. And all of that's important, but I feel like I'm not getting stuff done sometimes. So I take that time at night because it's quiet. And then, you know, I would say, not every night, but often one of the things I try to do is I'm like, as I get back into bed, if it's been like a weird day, I make myself decide three things that I could have done better that day or that I wasn't proud of. But then I also make myself identify three things that I was proud of that I did that day. And that just kind of like helps my brain and soul settle down a little bit from maybe the chaos that was going on all day or just anticipating tomorrow's chaos. It just kind of settles me to say, okay, I know what I can do better. Like, this is something I could do better, and feels good to recognize the mistakes you made. But then also give yourself credit for the things you thought you did well.
I really like that. I think that's fantastic because there's self-improvement in there and then also honoring, you know, the positives, which I think is a really important thing. And oftentimes we do not do that enough. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, and you need to recognize them so you keep doing them, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. That is awesome. Jen, this has been so fun. You have been such an awesome guest. And I know I've learned a lot. I know our listeners have learned a lot. Of course, I can't let you go until we do 5 fun facts. As you know, this is something that I started doing with the 49ers players. But on this podcast, we ask all of our guests the same facts every week. And we get 5 very fun, different answers. So if you are ready, 5 fun facts with Jennifer Pransky. Jen, what is your favorite moment in sports?
I would say, and this is where I should have done my homework, but the Olympic swimming relay that Jason Lezak anchored against and won at the very last touch of the wall against the French team. That is a moment that I was out on the road working and I was in a hotel and I was up on the bed in the hotel room, jumping up and down during Jason Lezak's last leg of that Olympic relay. And I don't know, I just loved it so much.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I totally have an image of you jumping up and down on the bed
in the hotel room. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not a big, you know, yeller at the TV kind of person, just in general. But oh my God.
That's awesome.
That night, it was kind of crazy.
That's fantastic. What is your life motto?
It's, you know, I think a lot about, I don't know the exact words he said it in, and I think he wrote it in about a million different ways, but Socrates always has had this thing about how true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I just try to remember. I think it keeps us humble. It keeps us curious. It helps us to, you know, find adventure and branch out, and also to understand that you always need to take time to think about other people's perspectives, you know. And so that's what I just like to remind myself all the time, is that the true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
On the mornings you do convince yourself to work out, what is your go-to workout?
Jump roping. I like jump rope.
I had no idea about that about you. That's amazing.
Yeah, I can't run. I got crappy knees, and I have tried to like running so many times, Tracy. I can't even tell you how I'm like, oh, this year it'll be different. I'm going to get into running. I can't. But I can jump rope for like 45 minutes and be
That
fine.
Is an unbelievably impressive skill, by the way. Yeah.
But it's mixed up. Like, I do these workouts where it's like you jump for like a couple minutes, and then you do, you know, 30 seconds of push-ups, and then you jump rope, and then you do 30 seconds of squats. Like, so there's a lot that's like mixed in, and sometimes it's an endurance thing. And I've weighted ropes. I have 4 different weights of jump ropes as well. I mean, this is a whole thing, but anyway,
this is amazing. This is incredible. I'm so impressed. I just can't even begin to tell you, because I, at different times of different workouts in my life, have tried to jump rope, and it never goes great. If I can go 30 seconds without tripping, it's like some sort of miracle from God. So I am so incredibly impressed with this information.
We can offline about it, but it's all about the rope. I first started, decided I was going to do this, it was a disaster. I'm like, oh my God, I thought I did this every day as a child. How am I so inept right now? But it is all about getting a quality rope that works. I promise you.
I'm learning even more this podcast. What is your go-to coffee order?
Okay, so back in 1994, I had a cup of coffee, and I have not had one since then. I suppose if we're talking hot drinks, it's either herbal tea straight, no sugar, nothing in it, or what I mostly drink all day is hot water with ginger, lemon, and honey. Because I also am terrible about drinking water. Like, I find regular water just too boring, and I won't do it. But if I have a hot water with lemon, I will down like a liter of that, you know, in a couple hours. So that's how I stay hydrated.
And hot water with ginger, lemon and honey sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Not familiar. It sounds delicious. I was thinking, I'm just going to tell you guys why that came out of mouth. Because I was thinking, as I asked you your go-to coffee order, I was thinking, oh, wait, this sounds familiar. I don't think she drinks coffee. But hot water with lemon, ginger, and honey sounds delicious. Not familiar.
Yes. No, it's good. You can buy like ginger, ginger juice and lemon juice in jars. I mean, it's not the best way to do it, but you can, you know, I'm not like pressing ginger every day. I cheat it, but there's restaurants that do it fancier sometimes. You know, it's like everybody with their coffee. You make the cheap version at home, and then when you go out, you get the fancy version.
Very true. And then last but not least, a book every woman should read.
I don't know what, I mean, the book that my favorite book is My Losing Season by Pat Conroy. I don't necessarily know that it's super directed towards women, but I just think that if you love sports, you should read that book. I think it's, you know, one that makes grown men and women probably would cry like when reading it. It's about exactly what it sounds like. It's about a losing season of a high school basketball team. And just the love and camaraderie and whatnot that these young athletes had for each other, and how they kind of struggled through it. Pat Conroy is mostly a fiction writer, wrote a lot of books that people are familiar with and a bunch that got turned into movies, but this is the one that's more and he has a lot of autobiographical stuff in those fiction novels, but this is the one that is truly about, as it is autobiographical, and I love it, and I recommend it to everyone.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jen. And thank you for joining me today. This has been awesome.
Love you, my friend.
Love you right back. And if you guys like what you heard, which I know you did, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. I'll talk to everybody next week. Bye, y'all.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.